Hello, everyone. Today we are joined by one and only Tim Roberts. Hello, Tim.
Hello. Happy to be here.
Okay, now let's start with the questions. First of all, can you introduce yourself for the benefit of those who might not know who you are?
Yeah, absolutely. My name is Tim Roberts. I'm a senior security consultant for Dark Wolf Solutions. It's a DoD security contracting company. I have over 15 years of security experience. Lately, I focus primarily on covert entry and social engineering penetration testing. I'm also a public speaker. Spoken at several security and hacker conferences over the years. I run WeHackPeople.com along with Brent White. We both grew up together and both kind of traveled in the same path, I suppose.
Okay, now you said your job involves physical security, but what exactly?
Well, it's a lot of like penetration assessments. So some of them will be kind of a red team, which, you know, the term red team is subjective a lot. But, you know, if you were to look at red teaming as far as multiple attack vectors, oftentimes physical security assessments or penetration testing will be included along with that and on-site social engineering. Sometimes those service offerings are separate, so there'll be some overt or covert physical pen testing where you try to gain access to a commercial or government facility, try to get access to, like, say, the data center or sensitive areas by bypassing electronic and physical access controls, or sometimes just, you know, lying your way through security measures.
Yeah, okay. That's a pretty interesting job, I must admit. I mean, if anything, I would like to do that job. Okay, and how it all started? I mean, why physical security? Why not only digital security or security at all?
Well, it started out as kind of a hobby, I suppose. You know, I mentioned Brent and I grew up together. You know, when we were kids, we loved watching movies like Sneakers and Hackers and War Games and, you know, all those kind of cultural staples for the hacking community.
Yeah.
You know, it went from playing around with phones, doing phone phreaking, and frequent visits to Radio Shack, and a lot of time on IRC and picking up some technical skills to actually honing that thing and making a career out of it. So, you know, starting off as a generalist, doing network penetration testing and application and wireless and then eventually focusing on specializing and, you know, becoming, you know, for the lack of, I guess, a better description, somewhat industry recognized in covert entry, like for social on-site social engineering and, you know, access control bypasses.
Okay. And which part of the job you like the most? Like, do you like most physical assessments or talking to people or digital security?
You know, I like all of it, to be honest. I like to say that on-site social engineering, I like to include that into the physical security stuff. Because, you know, oftentimes, just like, you know, when you do a vishing or a phishing technique, especially like phishing to gain an access into a network, you know, by executing a malicious payload or something through an email or link,
yeah,
or whatever. You know, it's the same thing like when you're doing on-site physical assessments. If you're able to establish a rapport, for example, you know, a story I always like to tell is I got caught by a security guard once and I had a fake letter of authorization that I gave him and said, hey, yeah, I'm just doing, I'm testing the cores, the locking cores on here and the access controls. I said, you know, some fake name, and he just kind of scanned over my letter and he gave it back to me. And he's like, oh, okay, right on. I'm with security too. And I'm like, oh, great. I became friends with this guy. And I told him, hey, you know, if you could let the rest of the security guards know not to bother me while I'm here, that'd be great. And he goes, oh, yeah, I will. So he told the rest of the crew, and I was able to walk around that facility without, you know, worrying about the security guards ever messing with me or anything. So,
yeah.
No, it's exciting. It's fun stuff. I like doing that.
Yeah, it's an adrenaline rush. I mean, almost everyone I interviewed said that is the most, the most powerful feeling when you get in somewhere and somebody recognizes you or somebody stops you, like, oh, what now? Is he going to let me? Is he going to recognize me? Is he going to stop me? I believe that's a good feeling.
Absolutely. You know, and it's interesting too, real quick, funny story is Brent White and I were trying to, doing an assessment together. We're trying to get into this area and it was an offsite data center. And, when we were there, we tailgated behind a guy and he turned around and he recognized us. He was like, wait a minute. I've seen you guys talk at DEF CON before. And we're like, oh, no. Oh, yeah, yeah. I know we're here with our friend. And, you know, we lied and said we were there with, some guy that works with networking. And we were just hanging out, waiting on him. And he goes, well, I'm going to keep my eye on you guys. and we just walked around and did our thing. And he didn't bother us after that. But it's kind of funny when you mention being, someone recognizing you or even approaching you and challenging you, recognizing that you were not an employee there, and coming up with a guise or being able to think on the fly and kind of improv your way out of it.
I mean, that is, you have to have really good skills to make him believe you. You're like, no, I'm not here to social engineer you. I'm just here like with a friend. That needs skills too. I mean, so congrats about that. Now we're talking about social engineering. Now, I like this question a lot. Since learning social engineering, did your view of the world change at all?
I think so. But, outside of my career, I did a lot of acting. I did a lot of stage and film acting. And I also run a entertainment show, like a stunt show. So I've been doing a lot of improv. And I think once you're kind of accustomed to that, and then my father is a magician. Oh. So growing up, watching him kind of manipulate people into the illusions that he was presenting them, it was always in the back of my mind that wow, there are people that are professional liars out there, and they get paid to do it. I think it's made me a lot more security aware. I would say that, like, I am a lot more skeptical if when people ask me for information or whatever, over the phone or even in person, even if they've got valid credentials, I am still a very paranoid person when it comes to providing that kind of data. But I think it certainly has, given me a better understanding of how manipulative people can be. And, and I think being able to exercise that outside of just professional levels, but, just out in the world is always a handy asset.
Yeah, I mean, I like the sentence of some I heard on podcast, like security people are paid to be paranoid. So yeah, social engineering, it really does you good.
Absolutely.
Yeah, now, can you tell us, or do you have any good tip for someone who is just starting to get into security?
Yeah, for offensive security, I always like to say that it's always best that you learn as much as you can and network. Networking is so important, like as far as, being a part of the community. Go to hacker cons, go to security conferences, make friends with people, hang out in the villages, the lockpick villages, the car hacking villages, whatever you want to focus on. And, meet the people that run those villages, talk with them, learn things, don't ever limit yourself or don't ever get an ego and think, oh, I know all I can. I think that's always kind of a roadblock for some people, especially in this industry. I think it's always helpful to establish, even like your Discord server, for example, and a lot of communities out there, just being able to talk with other people and sharing skills and sharing knowledge is super important. And, another thing I like to say too is don't always expect to go in and become a subject matter expert. So, a question I get a lot is, how do I get into social engineering? I'm really good at lying. Well, that's great, but what about your technical skills? Are you a good generalist? Do you have experience? What do you do if the client's expecting you to connect to the core switch and access the network once you're inside, the data center? Like, do you know what to do then? Or are you going to wait for somebody else to do that? There's a lot of skills I think that you have to have as kind of a foundation before you can specialize.
Okay, so would you say that it is better to be generalist than specialize in one area?
I wouldn't say that exactly, but I think that, if you're wanting to get a job, it's going to be, you're more likely to get a job as a a generalist and then work your way toward being a specialist instead of just being like, hey, I'm really good at, let's say, physical security, for example. You know, unless you're able to find a place that solely does physical security assessments as their primary service offering, which honestly is kind of rare, you know, it's going to be hard to get a job doing just that. Whereas if you find a job as a pen tester and you have a solid set of skills for networking and application pen testing, and then, you know, you're also good at lock picking and things like that, build on those skills and then help them to sell those service offerings even. But, you know, I always like to say that being a generalist is the best for having a foundation and then work your way toward being a SME or a subject matter expert.
Yeah, don't limit yourself. Just try everything and know everything. I mean, yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, now that is a security tip. And what is your social engineering tip for someone who is just starting?
I would say improv classes. No joke. you have to be comfortable with thinking on the fly and, you know, and comfortable with lying to people. You know, a lot of people have struggles doing that. You know, but I think when you understand that you're there to help and you're not there just to trick someone into believing you or allowing access to something, being able to be comfortable, not only, you know, in person, but when you're doing vishing, if you're doing like calls, like cold calls, for example, say you don't have time to do pretexting or establish a solid backstory or something, you know, you need to be able to think on the fly. When I first started, whenever I would travel, I would often just make up a character and pretend to be that person with anyone I interacted, whether it was somebody on the plane or ordering food at a drive-thru or talking to the, you know, just people around the hotel, and just getting comfortable in that. So
yeah.
I always tell people, if you want to be good at social engineering, work on your improv skills.
Yeah, that's actually a good tip. Okay, and what do you think is more important, having a relevant certifications or knowing the right people?
You know, honestly, I've seen a lot of people with, I like to say, alphabet soup in their signature blocks in the email.
Okay, I understand that.
It's like, wow, you've got 15 certs in there. That's ridiculous. You know, I don't want to say the certs are bad at all, because certs are fantastic. Because if you are doing the certs and you're doing the training, all training is excellent. Any kind of training that you do can build on your skill set. Do that.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I think it's always encourage people to network and, you know, be a part of a community. And you know, once you're networking, if you join, like, say, a DEF CON group or, you know, a 2600 group or something like that, you know, it's always nice, because someone can be like, hey, we're looking at hiring an entry level pen tester, or we're looking at somebody to monitor our intrusion detection system or help us write signatures, you know, or something like that for our snort. You know, you're able to get an in that way. So I think it's kind of a give and take. It just kind of depends on what you're doing. But I do not encourage people just to do a brain dump, and take a test, get a certification, and then just forget everything you studied.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, they are both important, but, you know, you have to have some balance between them.
Absolutely.
And what courses or what certifications would you take right now if you were starting all over again?
You know, I always found that SANS, the SANS Institute, has some good entry-level certifications and trainings, you know, like the GPN, the GXPN, stuff like that. But I would, if I were focusing on certifications right now as a pen tester, I would always encourage getting the OSCP, because that's a solid cert. And then also, if you want to focus on physical security, you know, covert entry stuff, Red Team Alliance, good friends of mine, you know, those guys have some amazing classes. Covert Methods of Entry is an excellent class that, you know, Bobek and Devin Olam and Rob Pinger and those guys teach some great, great content.
Yeah, they are really good. Okay, and we talked about certifications, but what skills does someone need to be successful physical penetration tester?
Having a good understanding of physical and electronic access controls. You know, lock picking is great. I think it's having at least a foundation in lock picking. You don't have to be like some lock sport genius, you know, to do physical pen tests. But having an understanding of how to bypass locks and to lock pick is great. I would encourage to have a solid understanding of that. And then also, you know, knowing what industry best practices there are.
Yeah.
And if social engineering is a part of the scope, you want to make sure that you're comfortable talking to people and being able to kind of do that verbal judo.
Yeah. Okay. I understand. And okay, what skills would you look for when hiring someone?
The primary thing that I look for is personality, and are you malleable? So are you able to come in and learn and be able to work well with the team? You know, if I always hate seeing ego, someone coming in and just, you know, questioning everything and just, you know, it's always good to question. I encourage that, but you find people that are kind of stuck in their way of doing things. And, you know, I always just look for that, especially over technical skills. You can have all the certs in the world, but if I interview you and you are a jerk on the phone, or you're just,
yeah,
you know, you're not able to even have a conversation. I oftentimes will go over, you know, I would choose somebody with a decent technical background, but it's very easy to talk to and jives well on the phone with those interviewing them over somebody with a solid technical background that is just a complete egomaniac on the phone, yeah, or just hard to talk to.
I like the sentence where it's goodly said. I mean, and they say you have to be confident, but not asshole confident, just regular confident and confident enough. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, and sometimes I will ask like technical questions, and instead of admitting that you don't know that question,
yeah,
I've had people try to BS their way through it. And it's just, man, I would rather you just say, you know, hey, what, you know what, I can't recall at this time, but I can get back to you on that.
Yeah. I understand you. Okay, now you're in many areas as on physical security, like brand, of course. And which area do you like the most? Like, do you like most picking, lock picking, covert entry, social engineering?
You know, I think the covert entry kind of covers a lot of that.
Yeah.
It's more, you know, I think it's neat to hide this stuff and to go in very low key with minimal tools to bypass things. But I think the thing I like the best, the most out of it is establishing kind of my guise or my disguise, forging a badge, and then walking around pretending I work there or that I own it.
Yeah. I bet that is a very wonderful feeling.
Absolutely.
Which resources do you recommend for physical security?
Well, I'm going to shamelessly plug wehackpeople.com.
Of course.
other than that, you know, my peers and friends, Devian Olam, he's got tons of content out there.
Yeah, we had
interviews. Yeah, he's fantastic, great guy. You know, Bobic, Lockpick Lawyer. You know, I mentioned Red Team Alliance. You know, those are some great resources. YouTube, check out some, you know, some of the talks. Like, there's tons of great talks out there. Social Operator, tons of guys that have some good content. You know, on YouTube and DEF CON and Black Hat.
Yeah.
You know, several other conferences.
Okay, now this is more of a technical question, but what is your approach to a building or a company? How do you look when you have a job to enter a building or to go to the server room, anything like that? How do you start? When you come to a building, you did the OSINT, you did the preparation. So what do you do first?
So, you know, I like to do the OSINT. I like to do my pretexting and everything, looking at stuff like from anything from Google Street View to LinkedIn, you know, Google Street View, being able to point out like what kind of badge readers they have. That way I can kind of set up my my Proxmark before I get there, or my Boss Cloner. You know, I think after I do kind of passive reconnaissance, then doing some active reconnaissance. So whether that's driving by the facility, not, you know, suspiciously, but if it's a heavily populated area, like a lot of my clients are busy downtown areas and big cities or something, just driving by or walking by to get coffee early in the morning and watching how people enter and exit buildings. Most of the time I will compromise during a busy time like lunch or when they're leaving for the day, because people are eager to leave because they're hungry, or they're eager to leave to get home. And oftentimes that's the perfect time to tailgate. And so that's usually my initial approach is just to kind of watch and then build my disguise off of that and then execute. Yeah.
Okay. And did ever your martial arts ever help you in physical security assessments?
I've been doing martial arts for a really long time, over 25 years, I guess. And I would never say that, you know, fortunately, I've never had to defend myself in a physical yeah. security assessment. But conflict resolution is always a good skill. And it's one that has often gone over, you know, in combative trainings and martial arts training, is that having the ability to de-escalate conflict by talking is always helpful. You know, sometimes you run into those people that want to peacock and get huffy puffy or challenge you. But, you know, being able to talk to them and be friends and de-escalate things, I think is always handy. I will say that, you know, parkour, I teach at a parkour gym called Urban Ninja. I think that's helped me sometimes, you know, whenever I've tried to look at alternate ways of getting into a facility or, you know, even climbing over a wall to get into a data center, climbing under at the drop floor or something if they don't have firewalls. You know, that's kind of helped me a little bit.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, we also heard about you that you're a guy who can boldly make someone do something for you even if they don't want to. How do you do that? I mean, what is your secret about that?
You know, I've always, I've just never had a problem approaching someone and asking them. you know, I think if you do it confidently and just have confidence, you know, for example, you know, I remember a time where a security guard, I just pretended that I was an auditor and I walked straight up to the security guard and I had my bump keys at the time. I don't encourage using bump keys, but I had them at the time. And you know, I had them in my hands and I said, hey, you know, I'm doing a key inventory and I'm trying to get into the security control room downstairs. And John with facilities gave me this key, but he said it didn't work. Anyway, he said that you could just let me in. Do you got a moment? And she looked at me for a second and then she was like, I can't get up. And I was like, well, how about I leave my keys with you and I'll bring your keys right back. That I'll leave my keys so you know I'm coming back. And she looked at me very suspicious and she was like, all right, well, make sure you bring my keys back by 5 o'clock because I have to lock up. And she gave me her keys, which were the keys to everything. And, you know, I think boldly doing that it has always helped me. And I like to say I've never been caught. I do use a fake letter of authorization sometimes, just especially if I'm testing incident response or incident handling. But you know, even doing something that bold, has always kind of paid off for me. I don't know if I've been lucky or what, but, you know, just walking up to someone at their cubicle, for example, and having a keylogger and then just being like, yeah, we just ran some new fiber. Have you experienced any kind of latency issues and things like that? Oh, who are you getting on with networking? We're just doing some speed test. Oh, yeah, my blah, blah, blah has been slow. Okay, well, do you mind if I do a real quick speed test on your system? Sure. Well, can you lock your system for me? They'll lock their system, and then I'll plug in a keylogger, and I'll be like, yeah, can I get you to log back in? And they'll log back in, and then now I've got their domain credentials and just able to walk away with this. So just don't be afraid, you know, don't be afraid to do it. And I think, honestly, I think one of the things that helps, too, is reminding yourself that you're there to help these people. You know, you're getting paid to do this. You're not. I think that it is kind of cheating a little bit because you're not having to worry about going to jail necessarily, you know, as long as you got a solid rules of engagement and letter of authorization. But, you know, it's that does help me to be a little bit more bold than I normally would if I were, I don't know, if I were a bad guy.
Yeah, I understand you. Confidence is 80% of the work. Everything else is just skills, repetition, and just trying.
Absolutely.
Okay, and what is your favorite part of your work and what is your least favorite part?
I would say my favorite part is probably gaining access and then explaining it to the client during a debrief. So it's always nice to be like, oh yeah, so we were able to do this, this, and this, and the client just that shock and awe on their face. that's always a fun thing to do. But, you know, I think once you gain access to a sensitive area, it feels great. A successful compromise is kind of a rush in and of itself, especially when you're able to kind of walk in without anybody escalating an incident or getting caught. I would say my least favorite is probably taking advantage of people's good nature. You know, you always kind of feel a little bit bad for lying to the sweet old receptionist with, you know, her grandkids, pictures of her grandkids playing soccer. And then you start talking to her about, you know, the kids you don't have playing sports. And then you just kind of, you know, empathize and establish that rapport and then take advantage of her good nature or his good nature even. You know, I feel a little bad for that.
Yeah, that guilt can kill you, actually. Okay, and what is something that in your job that makes your heart beat faster?
The initial access. I think most of my talks that I've done, I always say that, you know, hey, one of the first things I do as soon as I get in that building is to find the bathroom. And the reason why is not to use the bathroom, but to go and sit in a stall for a little bit and to let my heart regulate and to regain that kind of composure. You know, I think Brent even sometimes carries like a Snickers bar or a candy bar on him. You know, it's just, I think it's usually as soon as you get in there. It's not even, you know, going up and lying to someone or getting into an area. It's for me, as soon as you get in there, because you're gaining your bearings. And if you don't know the layout of the building exactly, you have to confidently walk around areas like you do. And that's where a lot of people fall short and get caught, is because they walk in and they look like they're lost or they're looking for the next area to go. When you have to walk to an area like you know that you're the reason why you're going there. So,
yeah, I believe that is a rush. And what is the easiest assessment you have ever done?
You know, tailgating into a facility. I think one of the easiest ones, and I think I wrote a blog about this on my website about company events. So, you know, when a company has like a barbecue or some kind of event outside, there's tons of employees walking around with their badges, with food, going in and out, carrying things, holding doors open for each other. I would say that's probably been my easiest, because people are just, you know, having a time of their life, eating and listening to the DJ and all this stuff. And meanwhile, you know, me and my coworkers were able to get in and use an under the door tool right in the middle of a hallway that people walk in without even asking what we were doing, and then getting inside of a data center with a lever handle was pretty easy.
Yeah, I believe. I mean, nobody looks at you. Everybody's occupied with talking, eating, and just relaxing. So nobody looks for you.
Absolutely.
How would you describe your work in 6 words?
Challenging, worthwhile, lying, hacking, bypassing, and probably rewarding. I find it rewarding.
Yeah. I mean, I like to ask the question because everybody knows their job, but nobody cannot describe the feeling. So that is why I ask you this.
Yeah.
And can you tell us the story behind your username, the Bite Boy?
You know, when I was a kid, this is from many years ago. I think I was probably 15 or 16 when I first started using that name on IRC. I went through a few aliases and stuff, but that one kind of stuck. You know, I think proximity and a few other things, you know, handles that I use. But I added the 3 in the Bite because some other people had started using that handle, Bite Boy. But it was my first IRC nickname, and it just kind of stuck with me.
Yeah, it's symbolic in some way.
Yep.
Okay, now what is the one question you ever wish someone would have asked you but never did?
How can I contribute? That's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like I think a lot of people, they always want to, they always want to know how to do things, but you know, how can you help too? I think everybody has the ability to help somehow, even if you're not technical or understand a lot. You know, take the initiative. Start a if there's not a DEF CON group around your area, for example, start that group. Network with people. You know, get people in there that know more than you, and help each other out. You know, you can start out by just being the hub. You know, I think that's always a good way.
Yeah, especially when this community is not so big, but not so small either. So help it, contribute. Maybe people don't know about it, so just do something.
For sure.
Now, can you tell us, what do you use for your wonderful beard? I mean, when somebody looks at you, immediately they notice your wonderful beard.
Yeah, you know, the beard comes and goes, but I mostly I have it a lot of the time, and you know, I usually grow it out for the stunt show. So I run a Viking themed stunt show where we sword fight and work with jousters and stuff at Renaissance festivals and things. So, you know, the beard sticks around, but I typically use Clubman's mustache wax for my mustache, and then I use Can You Handlebar beard oil. And a lot of conditioner. So,
yeah, I mean, you're one of the few people first thing I notice is beard, and I love it. I mean, it's fantastic and it's strong.
I really appreciate that. Thank you.
And the last question is, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter, Zanshin, that's ZANSHIN, hacks with but it's with a four and an X because, you know, it's lead or whatever. So Zanshin H4X, or you can just go to wehackpeople.com, and that's got all my contact information on there.
Yeah. Okay, Tim, thank you very much for doing this. I hope you had a great time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.